In its transcription series, Musica Helvetica, SBC, the Swiss Broadcasting Corporation, presents special events, special editions. Today, we mark the 100th anniversary of the birth of Ernest Ansermé, Switzerland's most famous conductor. Ernest Ansermé was born on November 11, 1883, at Vevey on Lake Geneva, and died in Switzerland on February 20, 1969. Lance Shannon talks with Franz Walter, noted Geneva music critic and cellist, who knew Ernest Ansermé as both a practicing musician and a personal friend.
Franz Walter, we often hear, and especially now on the occasion of the centenary of his birth, that Ernest Ansermé was a conductor who had a most exceptional career. Is that not what one says about all famous conductors?
Of course, but in the career of Ernest Ansermé, there are indeed certain exceptional elements which are very much linked to his person. For example, his very beginnings. Ansermé started his professional life as a teacher of mathematics, not from vocation. He always wanted to be a composer or a conductor. But because he lived in a country where at that time there were few possibilities for a young and inexperienced conductor to develop a professional career. After a few first attempts with amateur ensembles, Ansermé nevertheless managed to obtain the post of conductor of a very modest orchestra, that of the Kursaal of Montreux. Quite an extraordinary coincidence, because it was at Montreux that he was to meet Igor Stravinsky, who had come there with his family and who was to play an important part in Ansermé's life. Ansermé recalled this meeting and some of its consequences in these words.
His wife was ill, and the physician told him to come into Switzerland. So he came in Clarence, and the young family were living in a little pension, very near my house. And one good day, I was conducting a concert of Russian music in the Kurhaus when he came and introduced himself. I knew his name, of course, very well, because he was very famous by the ballet Firebird, and Petrushka was already given in Paris. And so we became very, very soon good friends. And I conducted in one of the next program his first symphony, which since then was never given anymore. And after the concert where I gave this symphony, I invited him to conduct again in one of the program the scherzo of the symphony, and it was the first time he conducted.
The result was a long friendship between those two musicians, tarnished only slightly towards the end, when Stravinsky began to adopt in his work the aesthetic principles of atonality. One of the first fruits of this friendship was the creation in Lausanne of A Soldier's Tale, the text of which was from the pen of yet another mutual friend, Swiss writer Charles Ferdinand Ramu.
Pourquoi pas après tout, hein? Au revoir, collègues. Et merci du renseignement. Il se lève dans le même instant. Il se lève, il sort, il s'en va. À l'entrée des jardins du roi, les gardes lui demandent où il va. Où je vais chez le roi.
Excerpt from Stravinsky's A Soldier's Tale, in a documentary recording from 1940 with the voice of Charles Ferdinand Ramu.
Thank you.
Didn't Anselme conduct quite a lot of other premieres of Stravinsky's works?
We'll let Anselme himself answer this question.
When I began in 1918 the Orchestra de la Suisse Romande, then we were able to play his works. He wrote for us the new Suite of Firebird, who was adapted from the ballet, and then the Song of the Nightingale. And also when he wrote during that time, after the death of Debussy, the symphony for wind instruments, we gave the first performance of this work in Geneva. We have given a lot of first performance of his works. In that time, we gave one day a concert in the Conservatory of Lausanne, Stravinsky and myself, at the piano four hands.
Thus, Anselme founded the Orchestre de la Suisse Romande in 1918. For how many years did he conduct it?
For 50 years, and that again is exceptional. A conductor remaining for half a century at the head of an orchestra which he himself created and with which his name has remained linked to this day.
Before becoming a music critic, Mr. Walter, you were yourself a member of Anselme's orchestra. You have therefore been able to observe his career at very close range, even from within the orchestra. What would you consider the exceptional aspects of Anselme's career from that point of view?
It was really through contemporary music that he began to impose himself internationally as a conductor. He even became an avant-gardist in his time. The new composers he tried to make known were Stravinsky, Bartok, Hindemith, Honegger, but also Debussy and Ravel. And this to a public which, up until then, had been fed largely on the music of German composers. The feeling he had for the climate of Debussy's music was shown by the transcription he made of the six Epigraph Antique, originally for four-handed piano.
Pour la danseuse au crotal, from Debussy's Six Antique Epigraphs, recorded in 1960. How did the public and the critics react?
Both were unanimously enthusiastic about Anselme's performances of Debussy and Ravel. On the other hand, even though the critics approved very much of Anselme's efforts in favor of modern music, the public balked at some of his performances of works which seemed to hurt their ears, such as this Song of Joy, Full of Vigor by Arthur Honegger.
What were your reactions as a musician in the orchestra?
To my mind, Anselme was a person of extraordinary intelligence, gifted with an exceptional analytic spirit. I sometimes had the impression that to him the orchestra was a field of research and experimentation to which he applied not only his keen spirit of discovery in favor of new music, but also his very special sensibility, which worked wonders, as we already mentioned, with regard to the works of the Impressionists.
But what about his performances of the classics and the Romantics in particular?
Let me say this. For a long time, not only the public, but also some of the critics, were quite reticent with regard to his interpretations of the so-called classical repertoire.
And you, inside the orchestra, what did you think?
I sometimes even shared this attitude, and it seemed to me that it was a reaction to Anselme's constant attempts to understand and analyze everything. This often somewhat hampered the spontaneity of performance which most of those works demand. But I hasten to add that step by step, a profound evolution took place in the personality of Anselme in this respect. Also, a deepening of his understanding of music, which doubly marked his career.
How do you explain this evolution?
My explanation may appear to be a little paradoxical, in that I feel that through his intelligence, but above all through his passionate, almost dogged search for the truth, he not only understood but actually found and experienced this direct communicative link which leads from the heart of the composer to the heart of the performer. And this finally allowed him to achieve interpretations of great beauty of certain classic and romantic works, such as the Funeral March from Beethoven's Eroica.
As a musician in his orchestra, how would you judge his style of conducting?
This is also a rather special aspect of Anselme's art. He actually learned how to conduct autodidactically, But it was his years as conductor of the Diaghilev ballets, a position which he had obtained thanks to Stravinsky's recommendation, which really formed him.
I was called by Diaghilev in 1915. It was, as you see, the beginning of the First World War. And Mr. Monteux, who was the previous conductor of Diaghilev, was with the army in France. So Diaghilev had to do a tour in North America, New York and 18 cities in North America during the winter 1915-16. And he came in Switzerland, where I was with Stravinsky, and heard one of my concerts, and then decided to engage me for going to America. I was still his conductor, his first conductor, till 23, regularly. But I was mixed with the activity of the Russian ballet Diaghilev during what I can call the most important years after the First War, when the Rite of Spring were taken again, Pulcinella, when Picasso was first to come with Parade, and the big ballet of Faya and Prokofiev, all these ballets I had to conduct the first performance.
No doubt, an excellent school for a conductor.
He himself put it this way.
Ballet is the best school for conductors. I would wish that every conductor should conduct ballet for having the sense of rhythm, because it is a very difficult task, because you have not to follow the dancer, but to go with them, to have the sense of what they will have as rhythm and tempo, you know? And so to take the just tempo before any indication. And that is a very good school, I must say.
In fact, Ansemer's style of conducting never was that of a wizard of the baton, but much better than that, a style which spoke to you intelligently and over the years with more and more human emphasis.
But you mentioned a double aspect of this evolution.
Yes, Ansemer was a man who always wanted to understand not only the works he conducted, but also the sense of music in general. And this dedicated study of the language of music led him to set certain limitations beyond which music loses its sense for man.
Can these limits be expressed in just a few words?
Basically, it's a question of the laws of tonality and of rhythm, laws which certainly are very flexible and extendable, but beyond which, to use his own words,
it is conditioned in the sounds by the tonal and rhythmical system I have summarily outlined. Outside this twofold conditioning, sounds might still present us with certain happenings in sound, but this would no longer be music.
This point of view Ansemer developed at much greater length in an important work which he entitled Les Fondements de la Musique dans la Conscience Humaine, or in English, The Foundations of Music in Human Consciousness. In order to be able to write this book, which he considered his artistic testament, Ansemer sacrificed an important part of his professional career as a conductor at a time when he had reached his zenith and was swamped with engagement offered from all over the world. I don't know of any other conductor who, under similar circumstances, has acted in this manner.
But did he carry on conducting?
Yes, even conducting works of contemporary composers such as Britten, Lutoslavsky, Dutilleux, and others in whom he believed, though always rejecting purely atonal music. And he also took a particular interest in the work of his compatriot Franck Martin. At the same time, without abandoning the modern composers he helped make known, he also turned his attention more and more towards the masterpieces of the past, in which he sought ever deeper truth and which he interpreted in ever more convincing performances.
What goes through the creative musician's mind also goes through the mind of the listener. And communication between the two through music is analogous with verbal communication, except that language is a communication of thought, whereas music communicates feeling. When, for instance, you hear the word apple, this word would mean nothing to you if you didn't know what an apple was. In other words, it's your activity of thought that gives the same meaning to words and language as that given by the person speaking. Similarly, it's not the movement from one tonal position to another that determines in the listener to music a particular affective tension, but the contrary. It is the listener's activity of feeling which confers on a passage a particular affective tension, the very same tension it had for the creative musician.
I shall always remember a concert in Tokyo given during the orchestra's visit to Japan in 1968. On that occasion, Anselme conducted the Symphonie Fantastique by Berlioz with incredible verve and mastery. He was 85 years old, and his right arm was half paralyzed. A few months later, he was to die of angina pectoris. But the French-Swiss radio has carefully kept a recording of this concert held in Japan, a recording which to me is a kind of ultimate testimony to the spiritual force emanating from this very exceptional personality that was Ernest Anselme.
You just heard a special documentary program in commemoration of the 100th anniversary of the birth of Swiss conductor Ernest Ansermet. This feature was part of the Swiss Broadcasting Corporation's transcription series, Musica Helvetica.